Happy New Year, everyone. Today we begin the beginning of a new year in the church with the first Sunday of Advent. And as we begin Advent, it's helpful for us to remember what Advent is and what it's for. Yesterday I was talking with my sister, and her family was setting up their nativity scene. So she was asking our kids what Advent is. And my nephew Ben, who's 4, said, "Advent is the 25 days before Christmas that we spend decorating for Christmas." So it's easy to see why one might make that mistake with all the energy we expend preparing for Christmas, decorating, doing Christmas shopping, Christmas baking. All good things. It's my favorite time of the year for good reason. But what's the spiritual significance of Advent? And why does the church give us Advent? 4 Sundays and all the days in between, a special season in the church year that comes prior to Christmas. Is it just for this? To prepare our homes for celebrations and gatherings that we may or may not be able to have this year? Is that all that Advent is? And if not, what is it? What's its positive effect? So right away when we come into the church on the first Sunday of Advent, we realize that we have a new liturgical color. So we've moved from ordinary time to a new season, to Advent, whose color is purple. And we haven't seen violet or purple in the liturgy since the end of Lent, more than a half a year ago. And it's interesting that the church assigns the color violet to Advent, because violet or purple is a penitential color, just like Lent. Is a penitential season. This tells us that Advent is a penitential season as well. I don't think we think about that very much, that there's something connected with penance that the church invites us to in Advent. And I don't know about you, but when I hear the word penance, I feel a little bit weak inside, thinking, I don't know if I like penance very well. But especially this year, as we reflect on everything that's happened the past months, I find myself in great need of renewal and conversion. Maybe you do too, after everything that's happened. Especially, I think, with all of the restrictions that have been placed on us, having to stay in our homes much more, being much more together with our families if we have families, or being alone if we don't, being deprived of even being able to go to Mass for a couple months. What's the effect of all of this on us? Certainly, I think, and I'm speaking from my own experience, that it's very easy to acquire bad habits during this time and to justify many things, to justify eating more than we ought to or drinking more than we ought to justify giving in to Netflix binge sessions or lots of time on Facebook and other social media. And while filling ourselves with all these other things, perhaps dropping off some of the good habits, like a commitment to daily prayer, a commitment to helping others, and really worrying about our neighbor in need. One of the things that we do during Advent is we think of how Jesus comes to save God's people. or do we feel that need for a Savior? At the beginning of Advent, it's so good if we feel our need. If I'm okay and you're okay, then we don't need a Savior. But if we're sick, then we need help. This is something that Jesus says in the Gospel. I did not come to save righteous people. I came to save sinners. Sick people need a doctor, not healthy people. So as we begin this new church year, this season of Advent, do we feel the need for God? Do we feel the need for spiritual renewal? Do we feel how stuck we can be in our sins? If so, good. It's a good spiritual space for us to be as we begin the Advent season, feeling our need for a Savior. So I think there are some practical things that we can do to participate fully in this season that the church gives us. So I'm going to make some practical suggestions, three of them actually. And as I make them, I'm fully aware of my own need for renewal and conversion. So I have made my own Advent resolutions as well that correspond to these three things. So the first thing is to acknowledge the ways that you've failed and to go to confession. I try to go to confession frequently. Often God reminds me that I need to because I find myself getting impatient with my staff, with other people, or getting upset about relatively minor things. Finding myself really angry when I'm behind a slow vehicle on the highway. There's no reason for that. But yet, I can find myself in that place, or dwelling on uncharitable or judgmental thoughts. When I recognize this in myself, it's God's way of reminding me that I need forgiveness, and I need mercy, and I need to be touched by His love. So that's a reminder for me to go to confession. We should always go to confession if we've fallen into serious sin. But even if we're not committing serious sins, the encounter with Jesus in the sacrament of reconciliation always gives us a new start in our relationship with God. And how amazing is it that we have a God who gives us a new start? And not just one new start, but an unlimited amount of new starts. The only reason this is possible is because God loves us with an infinite and unlimited love. This is why He can tell His apostles that they need to forgive not only 7 times, which actually isn't a small number of times to forgive somebody, but not just 7 times, but 77 times. The number 7 is a symbolic number. It means a perfect number of times. So Jesus says, don't just forgive perfectly, but always and everywhere forgive. And the only reason He can say this to His apostles is because this is how He forgives. In His heart is the capacity for unlimited forgiveness. And so every time we go to confession, we get a new start in our relationship with God. And God is so happy to give us a new start over and over and over again, for an unlimited number of times. So, if we want to celebrate this season in which we prepare for the Savior, it's a good thing to acknowledge our need for a Savior by acknowledging the ways that we failed and going to confession. Second, it's really important during Advent, I think, that we intentionally reduce some of the noise in our life. And by noise, I mean what we have in our ears, but also what we see with our eyes. So to make some resolutions in this area. Maybe it's keeping the TV off while you're getting ready, or while you're going to bed, or while you're cooking, or whatever you do that you would normally have the TV on. Try having no background noise at some time during the day, or turning the radio off, or whatever music you would normally listen to or podcast while you're driving to work. Limit social media intake. Maybe look at Facebook one time and limit yourself to 10 minutes on it. So, of course, we don't need to do all of these things, but what if we picked one or two of them? What happens is that when we're always taking in information, when our head and our heart is full of other stuff, then there's not room for God there. There's that story in the Bible in the first book of Kings about Elijah the prophet, where he's hiding in a cave from his enemies. And in order to console him, God comes to him and says, "I'm going to pass by you." And so Elijah's there in the cave waiting for God to pass by. And outside of the cave, there's a tremendous earthquake that shakes the mountain. And Elijah knew that God wasn't in the earthquake. And then there was a storm that came up, and the wind howled outside of the cave, tearing trees down on the mountain. Elijah knew God was not in the wind. And then there was a fire that consumed the trees on the mountain, and it blasted its heat into the cave. Elijah knew that God was not in the fire. And then there was a tiny whispering sound, and Elijah stood up because he knew that this was God coming to visit him. The Lord comes to us in silence and stillness. And so if there isn't silence and stillness in our heads and our hearts, well, we're going to miss God's voice. This is something that Mother Teresa often said, that God speaks in the silence of our hearts. So it's really important that we can acknowledge see our attachment to all of the stuff, the information that fills us up, so that we can make concrete resolutions to cut down on that, so that we can have silence in our life, so that we can hear God speaking to us in the depths of our heart. Third, which is connected to the last point, to take some time to pray every day, to spend personal time in prayer every day, in silence, silent prayer. We can do this by meditating on the scriptures of the day, or by praying the rosary, or we can simply sit in silence in our home or in the church. Try to acknowledge God's presence with us, allowing him to speak to us, and we can speak back to him in our own words. It's so important that we take daily time for prayer. And if we're cultivating this silence, this stillness in our hearts, it's going to be easier when we go to pray, because our mind's not going to be so full. When we come to Mass, then, we're going to get more out of Mass, because our personal prayer and the sacraments have a relationship with one another. The better our prayer is outside of Mass, the better our prayer is inside of Mass. There's a relationship between the two. So the church gives us this season because God wants to bless us through it, through a time of spiritual preparation and renewal. Our celebration of Christmas is going to be so much more meaningful if we've prepared our hearts for Jesus' coming. So at the beginning of this new church year, let's make some New Year's resolutions, concrete ones, to go to confession, to cut out some of the noise in our life, and to spend time each day in silent prayer. During this Mass, we can ask the Holy Spirit to give us the grace to do this and to help us to know what God wants us to do during this season. Because God wants us to know Him in our life. He wants us to feel Him in our life. These are three things that we can do that give God the opportunity to come and touch us once more during this season of Advent, which leads up to the great celebration of Christmas.